It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. I get to work with a great team here. That's producers Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And I thank each and every one of you for joining us. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Live with intention and strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time. And producer Steve, it is hard to believe that half of 2021 is over and we are at July 1.
Yeah, I got the Christmas lights out yesterday.
First one on the block. I love it. I love it. And July 1 was when the Battle of Gettysburg began, and it was fought July 1 to July 3. And I would highly recommend to go to my website, and we will also put the links in there. But we've had Professor Alan Gelzo on. He's with Princeton University now. He was with Gettysburg College. And he has, there's a couple of really great interviews, the one we did in 2019 and the one that we did last year about the Battle of Gettysburg. And I would highly recommend that you go back and listen to those. They are just so powerful. And in fact, Steve, you and I were talking about the one that we did in 2019 yesterday, where he said, if the Union Army had not won at the Battle of Gettysburg, who would there have been in World War I and World War II to fight tyranny? Who would have fought Hitler and the evil Germans? It was so interesting the way he connected our history together. And I highly recommend that people go back and listen to that, Steve.
I vividly remember the feeling that came over me while we were recording that, you know, before it actually went to air. And linking these events the way he did, it was just stunning. I just never had given it much thought before. But again, how one particular event can bump into the next and the next, the next. It's incredible.
Well, and that is why we need to know our history. And we'll be talking with Rick Turnquist in segments 3 and 4. He's written an excellent op-ed, and it is on the website. And it goes through our history and where we are now. And so we'll talk with him about that in segments 3 and 4. Dr. Jill Vecchio, she has a great understanding and love of our founding. We'll talk with her about that in the second segment. And also Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance. Get her read on what's going on in this crazy real estate market, as well as her thoughts about coming into our Independence Day. Be sure and tune in to America's Veteran Stories this weekend, 3 to 4 p.m. on Sunday and 10 to 11. And we have done an interview with Major General, Army retired, Joe Arbuckle. And we really talk about where we are right now and what we need to do. We are at a defining moment. He said that he feels that our country is in deep peril right now. And it is up to us to come in here. We need to do our civic duty. We have been kind of fat and happy, if you will, for many years, and we've been asleep at the wheel. And we are waking up to see that that we have people in our government, these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, that many of them do not like the American idea, and they do not like the American people. And we need to step into this and engage. And one of the key things is our elections. If we do not have free, fair, and honest elections, then we do not have a country. And as we look at the headlines on that Patty's pulled out of here, Steve, there's vulnerabilities throughout the country. And I think one thing to be grateful for the 2020 election is that it has shed light on where we are right now. This didn't happen overnight. And so many people say, well, if something happened, then where's the proof? Well, the proof is coming out. I think that's the one great thing about this is we continue to search for the truth. And those that want to tap down the truth, I think we really need to question them. And a specific example is Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold, who basically has said that she's issued this executive rule that says that we can have no third parties come in and take a look at the vulnerabilities that we might have here in Colorado in our elections. And the third party is we the people. And so what we need to be doing, there's 62 of the 64 counties that use Dominion machines. And each of us needs to be contacting our county clerk and asking them to, first of all, not update those machines until we've had a chance to take a look and see if there were vulnerabilities with those machines. But Griswold has a calendar in place where they're going in and updating machines in many of these counties. So contact your county clerk, ask if those machines have been updated, and then demand that they not be updated, and be sure and put that in writing as well, because it is very, very important that we have free, fair, and honest elections, Steve.
Yeah, it'll be 2 weeks tomorrow when she put that edict out, or maybe it's 2 weeks today and we only talked about it on a Friday, but what did she say? There is no room for sham investigations in Colorado. She really, the rhetoric was so in your face, and we're just not going to tolerate this. And it's like, man, I even said this. What was the old Yogi Berra quote? When you come to a fork in the road, take it. She's at a fork in the road, and she obviously took the path she did. She could have taken the other fork that said, hey, bring it on. We'd love for you to investigate and give us a clean bill of health, but she was not willing to do it.
Yes, but they continue to say that Colorado is the gold standard.
Aha.
And that as long as they say that, they think that we'll believe it. It's like, prove it. We want to prove it. So this is a very important time in our history. And instead of engaging at the Battle of Gettysburg, it's not as painful to just call your county clerk and do your civic duty. And the 62 of the 64 counties, the two counties that did not use the Dominion machines were Douglas County and Garfield County. Let's jump over here to our quote for the day. And that is from Lawrence Reed. We've had him on the show before. He's also known as Larry Reed. He's the president emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education, where he served as the Humphreys Family Senior Fellow since May of 2019. Before joining FEE, Reed served as president of the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, a Midland, Michigan-based free market think tank. And to date, he remains Mackinac's president emeritus. He was born in 1953. He has a number of books out there. One of his most recent books is Was Jesus a Socialist? And we have had him on and talked about that. But this is what he said. He said, free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
Would you step through that? Because that one kind of gave me I don't know if I get what he's saying there.
Okay, well, free men are not equal because we're all going to be using our freedom and making our choices in different ways. And so some people may use their day, their freedom to do one thing. Some people may do something else. And so there's no way that they're equal in their accomplishments. They're equal in their, what the money they earn. But it's a choice. And so people are free to make the choices on how they live their lives. But equal men, if they want to make us all equal, and we're thinking about from an economic standpoint, there is no way that you can raise everybody up to this particular level that somebody may say that they want to try to achieve. There's no way to bring everybody up. So what you have to do is you have to bring them down. And the way that you bring everybody down to make them equal, to create equity, that's the real word there, to create equity. then you bring everybody down to the lowest common denominator. You take a look at Mao and China, or Stalin, to the big socialist communists. And of course, Nazi stands for the National Socialist German Workers' Party. And you can see that in those kinds of governments, as they bring people to be equal, everybody is equal in their misery. And so they're not free. And so that's my read on it, Steve. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I just realized why it creates a logjam in my mind. I think we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And his quote right now seemed to fly in the face of that. So thank you for setting that.
Okay. And the key word, though, there in the declaration is created. We're all created equal. And so we are all equal in the eyes of God. And so when Christ went to the cross, he went to the cross for all of us equally. We have no difference. And that's over history, whether or not slave or free. God treats us all equally as individuals. Hopefully that makes some sense as well. And they're also so connected. So we're all created equal. But what we do with that freedom then is our choice. It's that free choice.
And then one of the explosive topics or things that are being thrown around today is that the left wants equality of outcome and does not really acknowledge equality of opportunity, right?
Exactly. That is the big difference. And that's the big difference of the American idea is equal in opportunity. And that means your pursuit of happiness. Not equity. The two words are not interchangeable. They're really very, very different. But the left uses the word equal. That's what's so interesting in this whole battle of the narrative is this idea that we're created equal, but then they're using equity to put in policies to bring everybody down, to pick winners and losers. And I think an excellent example of how they use language and to pick winners and losers is just going to that homeless camp that we talked about earlier this week, where they are spending $3,750 a month on tents that cost $200 at Target. And so they're picking winners and losers, and they're stealing money from us, the taxpayers, via policy. They're taking money from everyday hardworking people and they're giving it over here to the homeless. And the narrative is they're helping people, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that somebody's getting rich on that, and that is the elites. And they talk about everybody deserves a home. No, everybody doesn't deserve a house. It's a choice on how we work, and the idea that you're taking money from one hardworking person that's trying to rub two nickels together to make sure they get their house payment done, and then take that money and talk about the homeless, pull on our heartstrings, but yet we realize that somebody is getting rich on that. And you can look at each and every one of these issues out there when they talk about equity. Just follow the money on that, Steve.
Hey, do you have some time for some snarky humor? I'll make it quick.
Sure.
You remember yesterday we talked about the magical state of California. Now they're up to 17 states on their, essentially no-fly list.
Uh-huh.
I have a friend from high school who lives in Northern California. He runs a small dairy farm. And whenever something dumb comes out of California, I send a comment to him. I said, gee, Tom, you guys are really leading the way. And his response, yep, we truly are a dumpster fire.
Yeah, well, and Colorado is playing California wannabe, and sometimes we're trying to out-California. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio, and we're talking about the American idea. Before we do that, though, one of my great sponsors is Hooters Restaurants. They are entrepreneurs. They have five locations. That is Loveland, Westminster, Lone Tree, Aurora, and Colorado Springs. And getting together with friends this weekend, get some of their great wings. Those smoked wings are super delicious. And they have different rubs that you can put on those. So be sure and check that out on my website. We're going to go to break. When we get back, we'll talk with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. We're talking about the American idea. We're coming into celebrating Independence Day. And of course, July 1 was when the Battle of Gettysburg began, which was the Civil War, was this settled this real question on whether or not slavery could be expanded into the territories. And ultimately, when Jefferson wrote the words, "We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal," well, that doesn't match up with slavery. It was a young country. Slavery was prevalent throughout the world at that time. And here it was, what, just 70-some years later that we went to a very bloody civil war to answer that question. But Dr. Jill Vecchio is on the line. We're talking about the American idea. What's your thoughts on that today, Jill?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I didn't realize how much influence our declaration, I mean, we know it had influence around the world, but this is really, I just found this out, doing a little research as usual, my nerdy stuff. When you think about the context of the Enlightenment and the formation of America and the idea of natural rights put forth by all these different authors that our founding fathers, researched, and they read like crazy. Lafayette, who fought in the American Revolution, the Frenchman, mm-hmm. is a very interesting character. Actually, Thomas Jefferson, so the French Revolution happened in 1789, after the American Revolution. Lafayette came over, was absolutely enthralled with the idea of the Declaration of Independence, which was written 13 years before the French Revolution. Lafayette, with the help of Thomas Jefferson, drew up the French version of the Declaration of Independence, which was called the Declaration of Man and Citizen. Declaration of the Rights of Man and Citizen. I didn't realize that this gentleman had done all of this, and then he was initially part of the leadership of the French Revolution, which went all wrong. Everything that happened there was completely different than what transpired after the American Revolution. At one point,
How were they different?
Well, people have heard of Robespierre. He was a great orator. He was like the leader of the French Revolution. They considered him the incorruptible. His very word was law. One of the big differences, I think, is that the church, so France had a hierarchy that was different. It's interesting to study how these different countries did stuff. And England was very similar. So they had three real forms of governmental power. Number one, the monarch, the king. Then that was Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette, right? And it was funny that the French Revolution was set up because of poverty in France. The people were starving, and the king, was just using all the money. But Louis XV, Louis XV, they were poor because he poured so much money into the American Revolution. Isn't it interesting that the American Revolution actually took down the French monarchy?
The reason they did that because they were also fighting the British, right? And so they were supporting the Americans because they were fighting the British.
Well, and the British also took advantage of the weakness of France after the American Revolution to kind of attack them and finish them off. So really, the French monarchy was killed off largely because of the American Revolution. and this Lafayette. So the
Lafayette and Washington were friends, very good friends, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they because he came back and fought in the Revolution. He was there at the time of the Declaration and before that. He came back later and toured all the states and was they could have called him the hero of two countries, the United States and France. But the government in France was the monarch, the king and queen, and then the clergy had huge power, both in Britain and in France. And as you know, well, in Britain, because of the influence of the church on the state and politics, depending on which wife Henry VIII had, whether she was a Protestant or a Catholic, because Henry could kind of go both ways, but that determined whose head was, you know, coming off or who was being burned at the stake by year by year. So 1 year, if you're a Protestant, you're at risk. The next year, if you're a Catholic, you're at risk because he married a new wife. I mean, it was craziness. The influence of the church over the people from a political standpoint was wild, and part of the French Revolution that was so difficult was they took out the clergy. They just took out the church. It was wild. And I think America was really founded on belief in God or a creator, but they didn't allow the church and the clergy to have so much power. That's why you have separation of church and state. It's because of what happened in England. And France recognized that the clergy had so much political power over the people. The people had almost no power at all. So in our Declaration and then our Constitution and Bill of Rights, the clergy is out of the picture for power. So now it's between the people and the government. In France, it became just the people, right? Because they destroyed the monarchy, killed the king and the queen, killed all the family, all of their families. So all they had was the people. And then it turned into like a mob rule of this very small group of orators and egomaniacs, a very small group that were running the country. And depending on what day it was, who said what in what newspaper or whatever, then the rest of the group would turn on you and you'd have your head cut off. Robespierre ended up the guy who really started it, and Lafayette, but Robespierre really did. He was under the guillotine. They killed him. They killed off all of the beginning people who wanted to do the American Revolution. Those were some of the first ones to be turned on and killed. Lafayette had to flee to another country, and then he was captured in prison for 5 years, then came back. Then they wanted to make him king, and he turned it down. Like who else? George Washington. It's fascinating, the similarities, but you kind of see who did it right and who did it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The French could have had this whole setup, but they didn't have the right people. Lafayette was the only one who'd really studied this. And then what did France ended up with? An emperor. So they got rid of the king, had a bloodbath, literally hundreds of thousands of people were killed. And in their process of power seeking, and then they ended up with Napoleon and emperor. What did we end up with? You know, it's very different, isn't it? You start with two similar documents. It depends on the implementation.
Well, and how they're based. And certainly this idea that we, in the Declaration of Independence, there's reference to God four different times, divine providence, and just four different times. And I think that is really important. Also, when we talk about the Declaration, we were mentioning it in the first segment, that we are all created equal by God, but that doesn't mean that we will have the same outcomes. There will not be equity in the outcomes. We'll have different outcomes. And I went back to the quote that I had from Larry Reed that said, free men are not equal and equal men are not free. Dr. Jill Vecchio, this goes so quickly. What's the final thought as we're going into Independence Day that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, I think part of the reason I wanted to bring up the correlation between America getting it right and France getting it wrong and England getting it partly right with the Magna Carta, but our founding fathers said over and over in the Federalist Papers that this Constitution, this plan for a country, will only work if we put moral people, if the people elect moral leaders to their government. And you see our country deteriorating because we have the corruption that France had during the revolution, that all of these African countries who fought for freedom, made up a constitution, and then put corrupt people in power who will now never leave, right? What do we have? We have people in Washington that never leave, and they just keep building more and more power for themselves. So I see America started out great, and we were great for a long time, but now we're going down the same road.
Well, that's why we have to do our
countries.
That's why we have to do our civic duty, and that's why it's so important to become informed about these particular issues. That's why we do the show. Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much. I'm wishing you a very happy Independence Day, and we've got a lot of work to do to protect, to conserve and preserve our great American idea. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And Karen Levine, award-winning realtor, RE/MAX Alliance. Welcome. And what's your thoughts about our great American idea?
Well, Kim, that was quite a conversation you and Jill were having. a part of me is like, whoa, that's a lot of history that I didn't know about or forgot about. But I think that it is great for us to be reminded of why we fled from England and why we wanted to be independent and why we wanted to create a nation as great as America, and to get back to those roots and to know that, as you said, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for each of our citizens. And when we start to feel like we're operating under a tyranny, sort of digging out of that and getting our freedoms and our voice back takes work.
Well, and you are working on that, Karen. We are seeing an assault on private property rights, and this Biden administration is really, it's an assault on single-family home ownership, which has been a great way for the middle class to create wealth. And you're working on that on the local and the state and the national level. And I, you're doing your civic duty on this, Karen, and it's super important.
Well, we're definitely trying, and I think what's difficult is a lot of these plans coming out of Washington are multiple pages long, and the average citizen is not going to sit down and read them. And we hope we voted people into office that are looking out for our best interests. And I think Jill's comments are, in many cases, you know, they've sold us a bill of goods and aren't looking out for our best interests. And so hidden in some of these bills are things like taking away single-family zoning in our communities. And I know one of your guests who are often on, who talks about urbanization, talks about the safety of suburbia. And the American people still seek to live in communities and grow up their families in safe communities and really know their neighbors and do life, you know, in their cul-de-sac per se. So it's important that we continue to work hard towards preserving home ownership and private property rights.
Well, you mentioned the safety of the suburbs, and people want safe communities. So instead of exporting crime into suburbia, where they're trying to quote unquote create equity. Mm-hmm. How about let's lift up and let's work to make our urban centers more safe? But we saw last summer when in these Democrat-run cities and states that crime was rampant, as we saw these different peaceful protests that actually were riots destroying private property. Mm-hmm. Of and there was equity in that, as they destroyed property of, you know, all people there. I guess that was their idea of equity. But
yeah,
that
equity
is why, instead of exporting crime to the suburbs, let's import safe communities into the urban centers. I know you are working so hard on this, Karen. When people are going to buy or sell their home, whether or not they're buying a new build or an existing home, it is so important in this market to have somebody that knows the ins and outs to represent you, and I highly recommend you. How can people get a hold of you?
They can reach me at my direct line number, which is my mobile, 303-877-7516. And any questions that the listeners have regarding the current marketplace, I certainly encourage them to give me a call. I'm happy to answer those questions and help them with their real estate needs.
Again, that number is 303-877-7516. Karen, wishing you a very happy Independence Day, and we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
And we're going to go to break. When we get back, we'll talk with Rick Turnquist. He's written a really, again, a great historical piece on the American idea. It's on my website, so stay tuned. You won't want to miss it.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
This is my country.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. We search for truth and clarity by looking at issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. It's not about free stuff. Free stuff is just the carrot they use to get people to vote for it, and nothing's free. You cannot get anything for free. Somebody had to produce it, and somebody had to take it for somebody else to give it to you for free, unless the person that produced it actually wanted to give it to you for free. That's called freedom. On the line with me is Rick Turnquist, and he has moved to Oklahoma. Rick Turnquist, it is Turnquist Thursday today. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Thanks. It's great to be on the show again, calling in from far away.
How is Oklahoma?
Oklahoma's different. It's more humid here, and it rains a lot more, it seems like. But it's very green, and it's a nice place to live. So all is well, and it's very red here. And I've joined a Second Amendment group here in Oklahoma, the state of Oklahoma, and we're on the right path, I think, as far as our state government is concerned and the freedoms that are enshrined in our Constitution. So Oklahoma is a great place to live.
Well, in Colorado, we've got such a battle on our hands here with just the things that were passed down at the state legislature regarding the Second Amendment. And the Second Amendment is in the Bill of Rights for a reason. But let's jump over here and talk about your piece that you've done. And Zach did, again, an amazing visual with the piece. But the American idea, you've really gone through our history. This is an extremely well-researched piece. Let's talk about it. Where do you want to start?
Well, thanks. And before we talk about this, I just want to comment on something you said earlier in the show about the Secretary of State Janet Griswold saying she didn't want to have any third party audits of the county election process. And to me, that's a huge red flag. I wasn't, I'd always felt like Colorado elections were probably pretty much on the up and up. But when she said there shouldn't be any third party audits, that to me just degraded my confidence in Colorado elections considerably. I work in I work in public companies that are audited for every, you know, to within an inch of their lives by third-party auditors every quarter. It's required by the government, by the Securities Exchange Act of 1933 or 34. And, you know, third-party audits are always a good thing. And for the fact that the Secretary of State says there shouldn't be any third-party audits, that to me is a huge red flag. And really, there should be something done about that.
You know, that's interesting you would mention that, because I remember one of our conversations, and I was commenting about my concern about election integrity, and I got the feeling that you felt that we didn't have as much vulnerability as I thought. But to your point, I hadn't thought about the auditing of public companies every quarter. That I agree. If there's no there, then why wouldn't you let us have a look at it? So thank you. I appreciate that. And we've got to have free, fair, and honest elections, Rick, or we don't have a country.
That's exactly right. And just to wrap up, you know, this point, you know, free, fair, honest elections, you know, the right fears, you know, voter fraud, and the left fears voter suppression. Well, I think the last election proved that voter suppression pretty much is not happening in this country. And even Democrats, by a large majority, I wrote a piece about this on my blog several years ago about voter ID. Even large numbers of Democrats approve of voter ID. I mean, you have to have an ID to buy beer, for God's sakes. So, you know, having an ID to vote is should be a no-brainer. And, you know, we really need to tighten up our elections. I believe that voter fraud is maybe not as widespread as some people think, but I'm not going to say it doesn't exist either. And there's been rumors of it, you know, throughout history. So I think that tightening up our election laws and cleaning up our election rolls and, you know, auditing elections and making sure that the whole process is secure and, you know, fair and objective is very important.
Absolutely, for sure. So let's talk about the American idea. Because it is based on a democratic constitutional republic.
Yeah, so, you know, when I started this piece, I sat down to write. It actually took – this is the longest one it took me to write, because I actually ended up writing too much. I had to, you know, kind of skinny it down a little bit because I didn't want to write a whole book. But, you know, I kind of started with the Pilgrims. When you think about – the Pilgrims, the people that first, you know, came from Europe to settle in America, these were people who were seeking religious freedom. And they got into a primitive boat and sailed across the Atlantic Ocean. I believe, if I remember right, the journey took, you know, well over a month. And, you know, they're living in very cramped quarters and in a very, you know, rough sea. And you know, just the thought of doing that, you know, is daunting. But these people did it to seek religious freedom. That's how important their faith was to them. And it just continued on and on. You know, the colonists, you know, between 1620 and the eve of the Revolutionary War, they settled the eastern seaboard of the North American continent. And it grew from a handful of people, you know, to about 2.5 million people living in 13 colonies. So it really, you know, a lot of people came to America drawn by the promise of freedom and a new and better life than what they had in England and other European countries.
Well, and I want to make just a quick point. One of the things that you've said over and over is that there are three pillars to our prosperity, and one of those is fossil fuels. And there are those that are talking about that we would move our cargo ships from being powered by fossil fuels to wind. And just think about how that would disrupt supply chains if we did that. If it took the Pilgrims a month to get from Europe over to America, I mean, just think about that. I hope people think about that when somebody says that we're going to make our cargo ships sailboats again.
Well, they're, you know, the left is they call themselves progressives, but they really are regressive, because they want to go back. They want to erase all the progress we've made in human civilization over the last 200 years. And that's just another example of that. I mean, I hadn't heard about that because it's so silly. But, you know, the idea that you can have wind-powered ships that are going to be more reliable than ships powered with fossil fuels or coal. Well, they don't do it with coal anymore. It's all fossil fuels. But, you know, it just is it's a silly idea. So
it is. It is. So let's continue on, because the American idea is a great idea.
Right. So, you know, the colonies were built up, and then the quote I put in the beginning of the piece on your website at kimmonson.com is a quote from the movie Last of the Mohicans. It's a great movie. You know, it really brings out a lot of ideas of the early America. But it's a quote from that movie where the woman Cora Monroe says, "Why are these people living in this defenseless place?" And you know, the Hawkeye, the guide, says, "After 7 years of service, they moved to the frontier because that's the only land available to poor people." And you know, she says, you know, the English guy says something about how can these people go around in England's possessions by their own leave, or you know, without so much as by your leave. And Cora says, "They do not live their lives by your leave. They hack it out of the wilderness with their own two hands, bearing children along the way." And that, to me, that quote right there kind of really sums up the whole frontier attitude that was in America in the early days, you know, before the Revolutionary War. Was people were, and even after the Revolutionary War, you know, when our ancestors came here, they hacked, you know, life out of the wilderness, basically, and they didn't look for the government to help. They didn't look to the government to do anything, actually, but stay out of the way. So that's the way we should be today. But as you know, as time went on, we got to where the tensions between the colonists and the English crown grew, especially during the French and Indian War, and then in April of 1775, the British Army was trying to seize guns and ammunition from the colonial militia. This is a true case of coming for your guns. And the militia stood up to the British, and shots rang out, and 8 militiamen fell dead. It was the first casualties of the War of American Independence. And the militia forced the British back towards Boston, and that really started the Revolutionary War. And a little over a year later, the Continental Congress, sitting in session in Philadelphia, adopted a resolution for independence. And you know, there's a great musical out there. It's called 1776. I encourage everybody to watch it. It's kind of a fun look at the process by which the American Declaration of Independence was developed and written and debated and signed. It's got some cute songs in it. But the thing was that this was an epic event in human history, and the Declaration of Independence was adopted actually on July 2nd, but it was not actually signed and approved by the Congress until July 4th, which is why that's our Independence Day. And I always quote the preamble to the Declaration of Independence when I can, because it's such a profound statement of human rights. And I'm just going to read it on air because it's right before the 4th of July. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government."
It's pretty amazing.
It is amazing. And so, you know, we went on to win the Revolutionary War. And as Jill pointed out earlier, you know, we had considerable help from the French in winning that war. And we created a government under what was called the Articles of Confederation, which was a very weak central government. And the colonists created a weak government because they knew from firsthand experience that, you know, a government that's too powerful is inimical to liberty. So as time went on, however, they found that the government was a little bit too weak, so they set about creating a new constitution. And that meeting started in May of 1787. The new constitution that we currently theoretically live under was adopted on March 4th, 1789, and then the Bill of Rights was added 2 years later in December of 1791.
Well, and the Constitution was put in place. They were so concerned about government that was too powerful, but as you mentioned, the Articles of Confederation was too weak. So they put these guardrails on how big this government could get, and that was called the Constitution. Now, when we get to where we are now, and you'll talk about it when we get back from this next break, what has happened to us. I'm talking with Rick Turnquest. It's Turnquest Thursday today, and he's written a really important piece, The American Idea. It's at the website, kimmunson.com. Be sure and check that out. And also check out Castlegate Knife and Tool, another great sponsor of the show. Castlegate Knife and Tool is a family-owned business. They are in Sedalia, Colorado, and they have knives for the best blade makers from throughout the world. And so whether or not you are a collector or a sportsman or a chef, you need that great new knife to make everything work better. Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to go. And if you're going to go to a wedding, great place to get a wedding gift. Check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We will be right back with Rick Turnquest talking about the American idea.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
I pledge thee my allegiance.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at KimMunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. I've got Rick Turnquest on the line. Rick, I have to tell you, this bumper music that Charlie selected takes my breath away. I have a hard time concentrating on bringing us back because I just want to sit and listen to it. But beautiful. But let's continue on this piece that you've written. It's at my website, The American Idea. Let's talk a little bit about the Civil War. It was pretty amazing what happened there. And the Battle of Gettysburg started on July 1.
I know. I'm glad you pointed that out because, the Civil War was really a consequential event in our history. And just to, kind of set the frame, during the 70 years between, 1790, right after we adopted our Constitution, to 1860 on the eve of the Civil War, the United States had grown to 30 million people in 33 states and 9 territories, spanning the continent. And that's when you think about that, that's really amazing growth. And it was all, again, people taking initiative to do things for themselves. The only thing they wanted from their government during this time was to stay out of the way, except when necessary to set rules and boundaries and things like that. I think it's funny in Oklahoma, where I live now, the Sooner State, I guess it's called Sooners because people were trying to get ahead of the land sales and jumping out of, trying to pick the choice plots of land. So it's kind of an interesting history there. But, it really is a different mindset than what we have nowadays when so many people want to look to the government to solve all their problems. But, we had developed into a fairly cohesive nation, but there were some serious fault lines, and those fault lines, going back to the debate over the Declaration of Independence, centered around what I consider to be the horrific practice of human slavery. And this divide erupted into a shooting war in April of 1861, when the southern states refused to accept the results of the 1860 presidential election and determined to secede from the United States. Talking about the problem of slavery is a 9-month topic in itself. Last year we had Dr. Tom Kranewitter's series on triumph and tragedy, and I included a link to the suggested readings for that seminar series that he did last year, which was just excellent. And I encourage everybody to listen to that and to read some of these readings because, the fact of the matter is that in the 1850s, a new political party was formed by opponents of human slavery to prevent, if they could, the expansion of slavery into the new territories that were being settled at the time. And this party was called the Republican Party, and the first Republican president was Abraham Lincoln. And the first party platform reaffirmed the principles in the Declaration of Independence and said it was the duty of the party to maintain the provision of the Constitution about people not being deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, to prevent the expansion of slavery into the new territories. And so, in other words, the Republican Party was formed to lead America in fulfilling the ideals expressed by Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence. And the Civil War itself is a huge topic, kind of like World War One or World War Two. It was really kind of the first industrial war that was fought with huge numbers of casualties. When I was researching this piece, I found several different numbers that talked about casualties. I settled on one that was a website for the battlefields.org, which I felt was probably mostly reliable. But over 1 million soldiers were casualties. A little over half on the Union side, and these were mostly white men fighting for the freedom of the African American slaves. And the number of civilians in mostly in the South who lost their lives is high as well. And I want to just make one point, and that is that the Democratic Party, which was formed earlier in the 18th century and is still the same party as today, controlled every single Southern state, and they were in control until they lost the war to keep African Americans enslaved. So I think we need to keep that history in mind when we talk about race relations in America. The Republicans fought a war to free the slaves, and the Democrats fought a war to keep them enslaved.
Well, and one other thing and a point to make on that, Rick, is that actually there was a Civil Rights Act in 1957 when Republican Ike Eisenhower was president. And you don't hear much about that. You hear more of the Civil Rights Act of what was it, 1964. But if we look at the Great Society of Lyndon Johnson, it has enslaved people now into dependency on government, and that is so antithetical to the American idea. And it's important to understand that it has been the Republicans that adhere to this vision of our Declaration that really have pushed for equality for all people, and it's a very important point to make.
Yes, and I actually do make a point on that later on in the piece under the cancer and bankruptcy section. So let's kind of just skip over the triumph of capitalism. I encourage everybody to read that section, and there's a link to a great book called Capitalism in America, a History by Alan Greenspan and Adrian Woodridge. And it's a great book. It kind of looks at how the 19th century in America was really just the prime example of the success of capitalism in raising living standards for people in quite amazing ways. And it's a really a good book, and I really encourage everybody to read it. But then we move on to the problems and that you just alluded to, Kim. And they arise from what I think are two separate but related phenomena. First was the birth of Karl Marx and his writings during the 19th century. Everyone knows he is a German philosopher and economist. He developed the political ideology known as socialism or communism. And basically, communism and socialism, they're kind of the same thing, have been demonstrated to fail at promoting human flourishing every time it's been tried. And I don't know why people still think socialism is a good thing, because it's not. During the 20th century, hundreds of millions of human beings lost their lives at the sovereign hand of their legal governments due to this poisonous belief system. And another school of thought that arose from the Civil War was the idea that society should be run by experts. And that's the basis of the modern progressive movement. They think that ordinary people are unqualified to lead, and they want smart people who've been university educated to be in charge. And socialism and progressivism have become ever more intertwined over the last 100 or so years. And that's when you talk about these government programs, under the Social Security in the 1930s under President Roosevelt, Democrat, and then the expansion of government under President Johnson, Democrat, in the 1960s, we're talking billions of dollars that makes up half the federal budget. The United States government has grown far beyond the limited functions that it was given in the Constitution.
Well, Rick Turnquist, the time goes so quickly. We're just about out of time. So we've got about a minute or so. How would you like to button this up? And then we would really recommend that people go to my website to see or to read your op-ed. And then also your blog is toadvancefreedom.com is a great place to see some of your pieces as well. So how would you like to button this up?
Well, it all comes down to the pillars of modern life. That's a piece I published on your site about a year ago. And it really is, you know, limited government, capitalism, and fossil fuels that are the pillars of our modern life. And we really need to, I think that the divide in America today rivals that of the 1950s. And while we're not in a shooting war, there's an undercurrent of political violence that I think is quite disturbing. And I think people need to study the history of America and realize that America was founded on the idea of freedom from the pilgrims who came across the ocean in the 1600s to the people who wrote the Declaration of Independence to modern-day libertarian conservatives and freedom fighters who work every day for a freer America. I think that people in the end are going to choose freedom over force and liberty over leftism. And with that said, we need to, you know, everyone needs to be part of the conversation. Everyone needs to be an educated, involved citizen and be hold government accountable and look to yourselves and your friends and your communities to solve problems, not to the government, because government is raw force and it's pretty much unfit to do much of anything.
Well, Rick Turnquist, thank you so much for all that you're doing. Thank you for joining us for Turnquist Thursday, and happy Independence Day to you.
Thanks. Happy Independence Day to you, Kim.
And our quote is from Larry Reed. He says, life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws, Bastiat reasoned. He said, on the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, AM 560 and 100.7 FM.